You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Press This, the WordPress Community Podcast on WMR. This is your host, David Vogelpohl. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This. As a reminder, you can follow me on Twitter at WPDavidV. You can subscribe to Press This on Red Circle, iTunes, Spotify, or download the latest episodes at WMR.fm. In this episode, we're going to be talking about something that's always been a curiosity of mine and something I've been able to support here and there over the years, but that is paid subscription strategies for media sites, particularly traditional media sites like newspapers and magazines. And joining us for that conversation, I'd like to welcome to Press This of Endo Creative, Mr. Jeremy Green. Jeremy, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Really glad to have you here. And for those listening, what Jeremy's going to talk about are his thoughts on why WordPress is a great choice for content publishers seeking to monetize with digital subscriptions, his favorite techniques for subscriptions with media sites that Endo Creative supports, and what he's planning next or planning to test next when optimizing for paid subscriptions. So I think it's a really cool topic to focus on this episode. I'm really glad to have you here, Jeremy.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Excellent. Well, let me ask you the first question I ask every guest. Could you briefly tell me your WordPress origin story? When was the first time you used WordPress?
Yeah, so I started using WordPress about 12 years ago. I started writing kind of a personal blog. And then about 11 years ago, decided to start kind of becoming a freelance web designer, web developer. And was in Seattle at the time and went to the Seattle WordPress meetup, met some great people and kind of got hooked from there. Been doing it ever since.
So was the Seattle meetup your first exposure to it, or did you say you had exposure prior to that?
I mean, I knew what WordPress was just from, personal blogging and such. But as far as the community goes, the Seattle WordPress meetup was my first exposure to anyone else who used WordPress.
Yeah, I had a similar experience at the WordCamp Austin. I was like, whoa, there's like a thing here. It's more than just software. 12 years ago would be 2010. So this would have been right around the time of custom post types then in WordPress. Did that hit you, or did you realize that was a thing when you first started? Or I guess you probably started and just thought it was maybe always a thing. I don't know. What did you think at the time?
Yeah, so it was always, by the time I'd gotten into it, that was already a part of course. So I wasn't around before that, when it was just posts and pages. So
it's kind of like people getting started now and they're like, what do you mean Gutenberg? You mean the thing that you edit web pages
right
with?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, classic editor means nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Okay, so tell me a little bit then about Endo Creative, what you do there, and some of the work y'all do for media and publisher companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've been building custom WordPress sites and plugins since 2010. Over the years, it's been just me. I've also had other developers working for me, both part and full time. Currently, it's just back to me. And we've worked in anything from small business websites, you know, locally here in Fort Collins, Colorado, to news and magazine publisher sites all over the world. So pretty broad mix of sites that we've built and plugins we've developed.
Interesting. Did you like happen into the media and publishing side? It sounds like you're doing a variety of work, mm-hmm. but is this like a niche that developed, or how did you get into it?
It was, yeah, it was a pretty organic process. I definitely wasn't looking to get into it. It just kind of happened. Started working with a couple of WordPress plugins that were pretty specific to the news and magazine industry. Those would be IssueM and Leaky Paywall. And started using those to build sites out and just kind of, you know, fell into it. It was definitely an underserved niche. And just really enjoy working with them. And so it's been, you know, learning over, gosh, probably been focusing specifically on publisher sites probably the last 5 years or so.
So if you're a publisher out there and you're thinking about your kind of content management system of choice, what do you think the advantages are for WordPress for those types of companies that are specifically seeking to optimize with paid subscriptions? Like, do you think there's an advantage in WordPress in that way?
I do, yeah. So there's a few things. Number one, it's easy for your authors to publish and to create content. So the WordPress admin, in my experience, has been really easy to use and really easy to customize, you know, whether that's through custom fields, custom functionality. It's just really flexible. So that's one thing that I really like about WordPress is basically if a client asks if we can do something, the answer is almost always yes, because we can kind of customize WordPress to do what we need it to do. And one thing we've definitely found is every single publisher has a different set of requirements. As much as we try to standardize things, everyone's, you know, coming from a different situation, a different homegrown system. And so the ability to be flexible and be able to make it do exactly what they need to do, integrate with, you know, whatever their fulfillment center is, any API integrations. There's, you know, kind of the open source, no limits flexibility is really important to the publishers that I work with.
Yeah, that really rings true. It reminds me of a presentation I did with a very major media company who I won't name that was considering a CMS. And I remember they had an RFP for the CMS and they were like, you know, does WordPress do X, Y, and Z? And the agency working with them was like, yeah, it does whatever you want. Like, what do you want it to do? And that was such a mind shift for that organization. And they had like one third using WordPress, one third using like a TV station oriented one, and one third using like a newspaper oriented one. And they had representatives from all the groups in this massive room. And I said, okay, who here knows how to use the newspaper one? And a third raised. Who here knows how to use the TV one? A third raise. I said, who here knows how to use WordPress? Every single hand in the room went up. And that really hit home with your kind of familiarity with the author's part. A lot less training that has to go into that. So what do you think publishers typically do wrong in their digital subscription strategies? Like obviously with the dawn of the internet and people not necessarily being, you know, trained in that medium to pay for content on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. What do you think people are doing wrong in that today in their strategies and the sites they build?
Yeah, for sure. So a couple of things come to mind. Number one, in order to have a successful online subscriptions, you have to have original content that isn't available somewhere else for free. If someone's able to get content somewhere else for free, then they're not going to pay you for it. So it's important that you have your own voice. You know, we see a lot of this with like local newspapers. You know, they have a really, they're in a really good position because no one else is going to be writing about the content that they're writing about.
But if they're just like syndicating AP articles, not so much.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah, you got to have that original content. Another thing too is asking for the subscription. You'd be surprised how many media publishers don't ask for the subscription, or they make it really hard to subscribe. You know, they don't highlight it in the navigation. They don't do any call outs, any calls to action, asking people to subscribe, or even giving the reason why someone should subscribe.
Why do you think that is? I mean, certainly they want to drive subscriptions. Do you think they're just trying to not seem too salesy, or still evolving in their digital strategies?
Yeah, I think they're still learning. You know, it's digital, you know, is, you know, like I said, I've been doing this for 12 years. So to me, it feels old. But for a lot of these people, like, we still have newspapers that that we've started to work with recently, that this is their very first time to have a website. So across the spectrum, people are in very different places. So I think it's just a lot of, you know, education. So spend a lot of time trying to educate our clients as far as, you know, what works in digital, you know.
Do you think they may have over-relied on advertising and, like, didn't worry about the subscription part, trying to make the ad side work?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a publisher myself, but it seems to be the case where they're kind of like, uh-oh, advertising revenue's drying up. We need to start diversifying how we're getting revenue. So,
yeah, it seems like a lot of publishing businesses, particularly newspapers, it was like the subscription price was to cover the cost of printing, but the money came from the advertising. And I could see where some might be in a position now to think of that subscription side of the business as the primary driver. I'm sure newspaper or magazines, maybe the subscription was a much, much healthier side of that. But it is interesting to think about businesses where, you know, you or I might have, oh yeah, well, of course we just do this or this, but isn't maybe top of mind for them. I want to dig a little deeper though into the strategies you're using, but we're going to take our first break and we'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. We're in the middle of our episode talking about paid subscription strategies for media sites with Jeremy Green. Jeremy, right before the break, you were talking a little bit about what you think publishers might be doing kind of, quote, wrong in driving those digital subscriptions. And you said, one, not producing original content. Two, not, quote, asking for the subscription, putting in those meaningful CTAs. Are there any other traps that you run across in the sites that you optimize?
Yeah, I'd say another one is giving away too many articles. The majority of the sites we work with use a metered paywall approach. And so what we're finding works really well is to give away one free article. And then at that point, ask for the email address for like a free subscription that gives them access to a couple more articles, and then asking for the paid subscription. So I think people give away too much content, or they ask for the sale right away when they should be just asking for the email address.
So you think like there, do you feel like most of them are doing things like article limits and they just set them too high? Or do you feel like most are not even using article limit technology at all?
When they come, you know, when I start to work with them, usually they're not using any kind of paywall system, any kind of subscription software. So yeah, I would say that, you know, adding it, having something is the first step for sure.
Okay. And I think like I've experienced that for like a large number of sites over the last month following like the Ukraine situation. Mm-hmm. And there's more and more of it where I'm like, this is a quality news org. Maybe I should go ahead and take the leap and pay. And it is interesting, that kind of exchange of value, even though I'm kind of trained in a way to expect to read things for free and not subscribe. So in terms of like implementing techniques that like are effective at helping people take that leap, you know, I guess one tip is to keep your article limits lower. The second you mentioned was to ask for something on easier to get, like an email address subscription that way. What are some other techniques in your builds that you found helpful for publishers to achieve their subscription goals?
Yeah, so you can, I would say offering, don't offer, you know, 20 different subscription options. Try to pare them down as much as possible. So one, maybe two options. You don't want to give people too many choices, because then it's hard for them to make that choice. So you want to steer them in the direction that you want them to go. And then also, you know, offering a trial can be a good way to get people to sign up. But don't make the offer so low that it undervalues your content. So for example, if, you know, I'm going to give you $1 for 3 months access, then, you know, especially for digital content, it kind of makes it feel like there's not a lot of value there. So I would say price your content an appropriate amount so that people see the value that they're going to get.
So the idea there is that you're potentially framing the content to be worth less if you come in with too low an offer for that trial period. Now, you mentioned limiting the subscription options. I'm imagining myself as a editor at a newspaper magazine, and I'm thinking like, okay, we want to make some, I don't know, new types of content. Maybe we're going to focus on business for a while, and it's going to maybe be a different subscription. Like, do you experience that tug and pull with the publishers you work with? This notion of like, well, we're going to create this whole new area of content, and so thus we need more subscriptions?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, you know, like to have as many subscription options as possible sometimes. But again, we've seen the best results with, you know, offering, you know, whether it's unlimited access or two tiers of access. But the fewer options you can give someone, then the more likely they are to convert.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm having like flashbacks to like the Business Journal, and like, I don't know that I've ever paid for a Business Journal subscription in my life, but in past roles, I've definitely paid for like the Business Journal's quote book of lists. Uh-huh. And so this has me thinking of publishers thinking of all kinds of different ways to monetize. But you're saying in your experience, you know, giving people just a few choices, reducing that cognitive load tends to produce the best results.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
So in the WordPress sense, you know, I know there's all kinds of different subscription technologies and plugins and approaches, but what are your go-to methods for implementing things like paywalls or subscription options, article limits, those types of experiences?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So for me personally, I mainly use Leaky Paywall. Full disclosure, I'm also one of the developers on it. I, you know, enjoy working with it. I've used it to build tons of client sites. So what I kind of like to say is not only do I build it, but I also dog food it in the real world. But there's, you know, tons of other great options out there as well. You know, Restrict Content Pro, Paid Memberships Pro, you know, even WooCommerce subscriptions could be a really good option. So there's lots of different ways to take subscriptions online through WordPress.
So obviously you presumably have the skills to write software. You're writing custom plugins and I guess working on Leaky Paywall.
Yeah.
But you're still kind of thinking about it through the lens of off-the-shelf software. Is that primarily for the kind of workflow speed benefits of not having to write everything from scratch? Are there other benefits you see to leveraging kind of off-the-shelf options like Leaky Paywall?
Yeah, I mean, they can get you, I would say, 90% of the way there. And then that's one of the beauties of WordPress is, you know, with whether it's through add-ons or hooks and filters, you can pretty much make it do anything you need it to do, connect to any, you know, if you got some CRM software somewhere, you know, you can hook it up to anything you need to, but having off-the-shelf plugins gets you really far down the road really quickly and really easily.
Yeah, that's a good point. You were talking earlier about that notion of kind of customization, flexibility in terms of the software you're creating, but also what you're integrating it with. And so obviously a lot of folks will leverage plugins to move quicker. But in the case of publishers, what are some of the customizations and integrations that might be unique to that group? I can think of a mm-hmm. few. I'm just curious what come to your mind.
Yeah. I mean, right now, a lot of my time is spent building fulfillment center integrations. So with print, you know, you've got people who have the magazine, but then you need someone to make sure they get shipped to the right people, make sure it's, you know, which warehouse is it stored in, you know, customer support, all that kind of stuff. And so we've been building a lot of integrations with fulfillment centers and their APIs directly.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And it makes sense. And of course, each one's going to be like almost completely different. Mm-hmm. and stitching that together in a kind of more closed, proprietary, sassy way might be much more difficult, and probably have to create a lot of middleware anyways, even if you did that. Okay, that makes sense. So kind of shifting back to, you know, this notion of free versus paid subscriptions, are there any other key strategies that stick out to you as you think about your builds?
Yeah, so I would always recommend, if you have the right content, to offer the free level, just because that's a great way to grow your email list as a publisher. Because a lot of times, you know, and I'm sure you've experienced as well, you read an article and you're not ready to pay right away for some digital content. But as you get emails over time, you know, as new content comes out and you go back to the site, eventually you're like, you know what, this is worth it. I'm reading this content a lot. And so it's you're a lot more apt to do a paid subscription. So I would definitely recommend having that free level.
And as a publisher, you're able to monetize those free subscriptions too through advertising, right?
Like yeah, that's exactly. You're growing that email list.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many different ways you can utilize that list for sure. So
yeah, it's kind of unique because, you know, non-publisher, non-advertising based businesses, they don't get to necessarily monetize their quote free offers of content. And they're waiting for that final transaction for whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But in the publishing business, it's like that quote, free subscription is actually revenue for you in some pretty meaningful ways, even if they never take that leap. So it sounds like there's kind of a balance there between, you know, the monetizing through advertising versus subscriptions. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say even too, like, even if you're like a nonprofit publication, what we've seen is, you know, people asking for that free, you know, email sign up in order to read the content and then offering a donation level for access as well. And so, you know, even if you can't take, you know, quote unquote payments, having the free and then the donation level has worked really well as too.
Ooh, that's an interesting twist I hadn't considered. Awesome. Well, I have some more questions around the strategic side. I know a lot of folks out there are, you know, building and optimizing these kind of sites, but we're going to take our last break and we'll be right back.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Press This, the WordPress community podcast on WMR. This is your host, David Vogelpohl. I'm interviewing Jeremy Green of Endo Creative about paid subscription strategies for media sites. Jeremy, right before the break, you were telling us a little bit about the kind of relationship between free and paid subscription strategies. I liked how you pointed out to, you know, drive some value there through the free side. And it was interesting to chat through some of the relationships between, quote, free subscriptions that you can monetize through advertising versus the kind of recurring paid subscriptions. It's really a kind of an interesting angle on that. So I'm just curious, like, you're, you know, kind of developed a niche here. You're working with these publishers over time. So I'm sure you're like keeping an eye on the future and thinking of new things to test. Mm-hmm. What's next on your test list? What do you want to try next with these publishers?
Yeah. So we've been digging a lot into the insights data, as far as like what type of messaging on like the subscribe nag is converting, that sort of thing. So getting into dynamic paywalls where, you know, based on user activity, user history, what category they're on, showing different things that might be a little bit more relevant to them as far as subscribe callouts, that sort of thing. Another thing personally I've been really interested in is the whole kind of headless WordPress and where that's going, and then how publishers could utilize that in their subscription strategy. Because speed is a big part of, you know, conversions. And I think there's a good opportunity for publishers to use a headless WordPress environment. And so I'm excited to see where that leads in the near future.
Okay. So on the subscribe nag part, help me understand that. You said you were looking to make that more customized, I think is what you said, or personalized.
Yeah. Personalized, dynamic. So depending on what part of the site you're on, or, you know, your, the user's past interaction with the site, showing different messaging, that sort of thing.
So a lot of brands, it sounds like, are using more like static journeys, like I'm here and therefore my nag is X kind of thing, maybe different things on different newsletter lists and things like that, but not dynamic based on their behavior.
Right. Yeah. Trying to make it, you know, more, you know, the kind of the buzzword is personalization, but just trying to personalize it as much to each visitor as possible.
Now, headless is interesting, you know, obviously that has the primary effect from the publisher is on the rendering side, which of course speed being a key benefit. Have you seen many publishers start to explore headless, or is this something you think is coming to the publishing space?
Yeah. So we have recently had a couple of people, a couple of publishers reach out and say that they were looking into headless solutions with WordPress. And so that kind of put it on my radar and got me, you know, kind of digging deeper into, okay, how do we make subscriptions work for, you know, digital publishers through headless WordPress? Because yeah, we have started to see interest in that.
So for you, kind of being a smaller team, adopting new technologies like decoupled JavaScript with WordPress is a lot easier than larger orgs. Do you think that the publishers that are asking about it have the talent to back up that kind of build? Or, you know, I'm just curious if you happen to have any insights into that, because that's one of the, I think, the most interesting parts of headless is like your team has to change in some way. Either they need to learn new stuff or it's a new team. But yep. I'm just curious if that's come up much.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of publishers we work with have, you know, in-house dev teams and stuff like that. And so they definitely have, you know, people are, you know, as far as developers go, they're excited about, you know, what's new, being able to do cool new things. And then also as a publisher, like the whole APIs that comes with doing the headless WordPress allows you to, you know, send your data, you know, to a mobile web app, you know, any kind of print fulfillment thing that you might need. So it opens a lot of doors for publishers as well. So I'd say, you know, the publishers themselves usually have that dev team who are excited about, you know, trying what the latest and greatest web technologies.
And with relatively static sites, they're like prime candidates for at least a relatively simple decoupled headless WordPress build.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Well, Jeremy, this was super interesting. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If you'd like to learn more about what Jeremy's up to, you can visit indocreative.com. Thanks everyone for listening to Press This, the WordPress Community Podcast on WMR. This has been your host, David Vogelpohl. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love to bring the best of the community to you here every week on Press This.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.